the Hawkeye Huddle on 1700 The Champ. Interact with the show on Twitter at Hawkeye Huddle and at Hawkeye Huddle 2.
Hello again, everybody. Welcome to Hawkeye Hill here on 1700 The Champ. Brett Ridge and Dave Creighton Jr. with you. Assuming that we're coming through loud and clear from, where are we technically? We're in Cancun, right? Is that Quintana Roo?
That's the county that we are in, is Quintana Roo.
Got it. Okay. All right. Well, that's what it's showing up on our Twitter as one of our locations. We are on the balcony of the Moon Palace Sunrise facility. Looking out over the ocean as we talk about the world of the Iowa Hawkeyes. And I'll tell you what, we've had years where March was not this active. We've got so much to do that it's almost not as much fun because we can't talk about all the fun we've had down here for the last 5 or 6 days. However, we were able to watch some basketball the other day in a private cabana, even though the Hawks lost that game. We've got a lot to talk about on the men's side of things. Of course, the women are in the NCAA tournament as well. Wrestling champions, the chips this weekend, just a ton going on. But obviously, let's just start with the Iowa men. The game the other night against Wisconsin, they win that one 62-57. A night where they had a tough time shooting. You had a tough time getting it on to watch it.
Well, you figured out how to pirate something and watch it. And I was down at the swing bar by the island watching the game cast on whatever, CBS or ESPN, one of them. And the Hawks get ahead, and I kept going, stop the game. Stop the game.
Yeah.
Just have this game end. And obviously, you saw it end. But, you know, a good victory. Beat Wisconsin three times, no small task.
Hey, listen, and I think that after that game, I think I got the feeling that Wisconsin felt like, and the media up in Wisconsin, felt like the Badgers had given Iowa their best shot a couple of times in the last week and realized Iowa was just a little bit better, right? And I think a lot of people did, too. Now, you know, the game on Saturday turns into a little bit of a disappointment, but going back real quick to finish that up, so Iowa went 2-for-20 in that game from three, still found a way with no turnovers in the second half to come back from 8 down and win that thing. I read today, I believe what I read was, it's the most watched game in the history of the Big Ten Network.
Is that right?
Maybe it might be the most watched Big Ten tournament game. But I thought I saw the most watched game in Big Ten in the history of the Big Ten Network. Either way.
Well, and I was just one guy who couldn't watch it.
Or you couldn't get it in. Well, and listen, the way I had to do it, boy, there's a system, there's a way to do it. You can get it on your phone, but it was tough. Now, we did get CBS on Saturday, so you and I were able to as I said, we pulled in a large screen TV in a private cabana and watched as our friend Pablo brought us a monster
Vegas.
Yes, and that game a little bit more disappointing. Of course, you know, Iowa goes down to defeat there 82-71, maybe 74, depending on how you saw the last play of the game,
which mattered
for the overrunner. I know you looked at me and went, "That was big," and I'm like, "Oh."
Well, then the refs decided to go to the booth and check it out. So if you don't think that gambling matters a little bit, it does.
They're aware. So I thought there were, and I think we talked, so we did talk about this. There were moments in that game, regardless of, first of all, through various mass surveys, I was probably tweeting as if I was a little bit more hangry than I was in terms of the officiating. Yes, they did allow a lot of pushing and shoving, but that's what you're going to get with Illinois. Brad Underwood has not exactly made a secret of the fact that that's how he plays. But
they play physical, Brad. And Kofi Coburn decided that he was going to just essentially punish Luka on offense and on defense. And Kofi was unstoppable in the first half. And I think the second half, I think he had four.
But so I will figure out a way to slow that down. But, you know, the rest of Illinois is just really, really
good. Illinois is good. There's a reason they're a one seed. There's a reason that they're the number two betting favorite for the NCAA tournament. They're really good, and they've got good players. They've got a first-team All-American in Iowa, and, you know, I mean, they're good. They're a good basketball team.
Well, so what we saw was a couple of different flurries that were mostly triggered off of Iowa turnovers. that ended up really turning the game. At one point in time, there was Iowa was down 5, and I believe they had 2 straight turnovers for dunks and layups. One of them where I thought Joe Wieskamp, who, by the way, you know, on a bum ankle, plays great for most of the weekend, particularly with 2 big buckets at the end of the Wisconsin game, and then shoots well on Saturday. But, you know, he had the ball stolen from him. He starts complaining to the referee instead of going back on defense. They get a dunk. So that went from 5-9. And Iowa has a chance right before halftime to cut it from 6-4. And they turn it over again, and it was a pretty bad call on Jordan Bohannon, who went down and got a completely clean block. But they got 2 free throws, so all of a sudden, it's instead of 4, possibly it's 8. And then right at the end of the game, as Iowa had cut it to 5, which seemingly was impossible at the time, when you really consider they've been playing from behind. I think Jim Nance, even, he's like, you realize this is a 5-point game, right? And Jordan Bohannon goes down there and turns the ball over, and Luka tried to go back on defense, but he had 4 fouls, had to give up the layup, and it was never a ball game again. I really thought, as flurries go through the game, those are the 3 right there, and they're all sparked by Illinois being aggressive, and Iowa, who doesn't turn the ball over, and it changed the complexion of how that game went.
Well, there's no question, and it's going to be interesting to see. And you and I have talked about this probably more off the air than we have on, but at the end of the day, the NCAA basketball tournament is officiated differently than Big Ten basketball. And sometimes Big Ten teams profit from that, and sometimes they don't. Clearly, the Big Ten is, I don't think there's any question, they're the most physical conference in the country.
Yeah.
And you know, occasionally things that go on in the Big Ten are not called, and they will be called in the NCAA basketball tournament. You have to figure out how the officials are going to go, and you have to figure that out kind of early in the basketball game in order to really have good success in the tournament. But nevertheless, Hawks get a 2 seed.
They're in Gonzaga's
bracket. But you know what? The road to the Final Four, Brett, is not paved with patsies.
It's certainly not going to be. No, it's not. And and this year, it's just really, really hard to figure out. I mean, when you take a look at a second round game possibly matched up with Oregon, okay. Well, Oregon, you know, they have no good wins, right? No top 25 wins. They have no good wins. They have a number of reasons why they are seeded. They're the Pac-12 regular season champion, seeded 7. You know why? Nobody knows that they're any good. They missed almost all of January, right? So it will be very difficult. This is for every year I say this. I always say at the end of the thing, somebody talked about how the committee did a great job because there were so many upsets. And I say if there are upsets, then the committee did a terrible job. There shouldn't be upsets, right? But this year, I don't know what they're going to do differently.
Well,
right?
But Brett, you have to understand the allure. The reason it's called March Madness is because Ali Farouk Manesh knocks down 3s against Kansas, and he shouldn't be able to do that, or at least in a fashion where they win the game. And so the upsets do make the tournament in the first 2 to 4 days. After that, everybody's pretty much done with the upset people. Cinderella, take your ball, go home, find your slippers, and watch, and get down and watch the really good basketball teams, which is why, frankly, in the last, I don't know, I'm going to say 5 or 6 years, you've seen a ton of number one seeds get to the Final Four with the occasional outlier, such as Loyola, such as George Mason.
I saw something this morning. I don't want to get it wrong exactly, but it's something like since 2000, I think the national champion has been a 1, 2, or 3 seed, you know, like 19 out of 20 years, right?
Well, Butler had 2 chances to bust that and couldn't do it.
But you're right. So there are upsets, and there are teams. There are Cinderella stories like Loyola a couple of years ago. But for the most part, when it comes to the end, you're looking at 1 through 3 seeds that end up usually maybe a 4 bubbles up in there, but that's where you're looking at. So Iowa's in that group, right? But if it's anybody lower than that, then something was kind of goofy, and, you know, there's a run here and there that happens from a 7 every now and then. But it is mostly because those teams have gone through the year and they've proven it, and I think that's what, you know, we're going to look at this. I think when we turn around, we're going to look at this in 2 weeks, and we're going to see a lot again of ones and twos, maybe some threes that are left, and that's going to be about it.
Well, those 2-3 games are, you know, oftentimes a toss-up, and occasionally, you know, what you'll find is after the first weekend, if you get a 2 playing a 14, for example, in the Sweet 16, that the 14 just can't hang anymore.
No.
They had their moment. They had their one shining moment, or perhaps in some cases two. And the Hawks are in a good spot. I know this sounds crazy. Gonzaga is clearly the best team in the country. I think the Hawks gave them one of their 4 or 5 hardest games that they had all season. And what were we, 3 for 23?
That was a bad day for Iowa, and they were still in that game towards the end.
Towards the end, I mean, once again, here we are, a 5-point game, and can you finish?
Well, the Hawks are 21-8 on the year, right? So they're 21-8. You realize, as the number 7 seed in the country, they've lost 8 times. So the number 7 seed in the whole tournament, the 2 seed, they've lost 8 times, 4 of them to number 1 teams, Michigan,
yes.
Gonzaga, and Illinois.
Twice.
Right, and then they lost to Ohio State, who's a 2, right? So there's still the inexplicable Christmas night deal
in Minnesota.
You lose a 7-point lead with 40 seconds to go. Played terrible against Indiana twice, but other than that, they've lost a really good basketball.
That's
team.
Right. They have 3, what you probably, I guess, you could call bad losses, since both those teams lost their coaches this week. But the other 5 losses were all to 1s or 2s.
You know, isn't it ironic, though? Those teams lose. You know why those teams lose their coaches? Because they prove they can play better during the year. They beat a team like Iowa a couple, and they hang like that. And
Did Minnesota beat Michigan?
I'd have to go back.
For some reason, I thought Minnesota beat Michigan in the early part of January.
And the point there is you prove that you're good enough to do it, and then you go out and you can't do it week in and week out, right? And so the people start to get – it's kind of the whole thing with the Fran fade that we complain about, right? Iowa plays great for a while in the past, and suddenly they're not playing so well, and you're like, well, wait a minute. Why can't we get this done at the end? So a couple of guys I want to throw. First of all, I want to recognize
I'm sitting right here. You don't have to recognize me.
It's been a long week. But Anthony Perkins played a lot of minutes the other day and played really well in that second half against Illinois.
I thought that he did. I thought that he kind of went on a heat check at a time that maybe he didn't need to, because he made
at least
one really good offensive play. And then I thought he goes, all right, I'm back home in Indiana. I've got this. And he went down, and the next time was probably a little bit of an ill-advised shot. I thought he played extraordinarily well on defense. He's a really good defender. Trust me, Hawkeye fans, next year's defense going to look nothing like this year's. I think they're going to be in your grill tough,
yeah.
Particularly if Joe stays, Joe Toussaint. We're going to have a lot more ball pressure on the point guards. Perkins is really tough. T.J. Frederick, I think, has proven to be a very, very good defensive player. I mean, Keegan Murray clearly is a good defensive player. I mean, wow.
Okay, you've just gone to my 2 other notes.
I haven't even looked at your notes.
I know. Who is Joe Toussaint? I mean, we see...
He's only a sophomore.
I know. We see so much good, so much confusing and bad. I mean, he was 1 for 6 the other day. He had a couple of turnovers, and yet at the same time, he played really well in the second half against Wisconsin. He has spurts where he just looks terrific, and then he goes away again. And I hope he doesn't get frustrated with his playing time issue.
But I think the problem with Toussaint, and maybe even Perkins, is that their game is not exactly the way that the rest of the team plays.
Yep.
I mean, we essentially, when you have the starters on, and this just in, neither Brett nor I play for the Hawks. I don't know why we always call them we, but nevertheless, the Hawkeyes do not, when it's Connor, Jordan, Joe, CJ, and Luka, with Jordan and Luka, if he can get a basket, he gets it. If he can't, he kicks it, we spin it, we reverse the floor, somebody's usually open for a 3, Or we get it to Weezy or CJ, who drive it towards the middle. The Hawks are like, what, 5 in the country in 3-point shooting or something like that?
Well, and you go back, and this is what Fran has wanted to do. And clearly, even look at who he's recruiting, right? Peyton Sanford coming in from
Milwaukee.
He's another one of these in the same home. Utah and all these other guys Iowa's had.
Patrick.
Clearly Patrick. Clearly Weezy. Clearly that, you know, he wants stretch fours, stretch threes that can shoot the three, and it's how Iowa plays. And I agree with that. I think it's an interesting point. Joe Toussaint and Anthony Perkins to some extent.
There's slashers. There's slashers, and they want.
So different.
I mean, Joe.
Yes.
Joe gets the ball so deep on a drive. Then Luka's in there, and he doesn't know
slips and falls. And
well, he just doesn't know exactly where to go. Jordan goes in, stops maybe 2 feet short, maybe 2 steps short,
and
figures out. And one of the announcers the other day, I don't remember which guy, I think it was the last Wisconsin game, was like, Iowa's interior passing in such close quarters is incredible. It's not just Jordan. I mean, it's Connor. It's all of them who are able to feed the ball to Luka in extraordinarily tight space and convert, and they finish the play.
There was a nifty bounce pass that Connor made in that Illinois game where he wasn't very far away, and he waited for. I don't think that was to Luka, though. I think it was to Keegan.
It doesn't matter, but the point is the same. It's not always.
We're going to miss out on our. We got to get to our Connor recap.
Well, after the break.
We are not going to play Shaker today because of our location. So we'll get to. We have a lot more to do after the break. We'll be back on the Hawkeye Huddle on 1700 The Champ.
Back to the Hawkeye Huddle with Dave Creighton Jr. and Brett Ridge on 1700 The Champ. Real sports talk for real sports fans.
And we are back here on the Hawkeye Huddle. Brett Ridge and Dave Creighton Jr. As the announcer said, we are down in Cancun, Mexico. The first time we've done a show from here. We've been all over the globe with this thing.
We've done a show from here.
Yeah, you were, yes. You participated in a show. I think twice. I think there was one that was very short. There was a very short check-in from you.
More of a drive-by.
I'm going to give us credit. I'm not saying we haven't partaken of fun today. Because we started at 7:30 a.m. golf with a golf.
True. I beat him, in case anyone wondered. It should not be a shocker to anyone who knows.
Admit it, though. I was better today than you thought I would be. Particularly after the first three shots, right?
The first three shots went a total of 10 feet.
And then it was not so bad.
Yeah. He thought his clubs were too short. I don't think it was that. I think it was his arms.
Well, they're rentals. But and we've been at the pool. We've gotten our COVID test so we could come home.
I am COVID negative.
That was an adventure for you. But we're COVID negative. We're coming home in a couple of days. We'll watch basketball and have a good time this weekend. Of course, Iowa starting things off on Saturday at 4:30, I think, Iowa time.
Will you get at home in time to watch Drake?
No, Thursday night. So we're doing the overnight thing. I'm stopping in Dallas, and my buddy Ron.
Oh, you can watch it there.
Yeah, he and his wife are picking us up from the airport. We're going to go out for a little dinner.
Nice.
We're going to go watch. We're going to watch some NCAA basketball. Hang out with him for the night.
So you got to watch. You're not going to be in Des Moines.
Yeah, I will watch. Yes, I will watch. I just won't be in Des Moines. Iowa women, we're going to get to them in a little bit. They start things off on Sunday against Central Michigan. I'm not exactly sure where that one's being televised, so we'll have to check that out.
Are they in Indiana, too?
No, they're in San Antonio. They're in the Riverwalk Regional in San Antonio.
Are they moving the women around?
No, I think that's literally where they're all. I think that's where they're all there.
Okay. I. It's safe to say, since I've been on vacation, my attempts to keep up with a lot of this has not been as good as normal.
It should be noted that yesterday I had a relaxing pot of coffee and made notes so that we could make sure we were up to date on a number of things. But that we'll get to that in a little bit. We do want to dive into wrestling right now, and this is our segment that makes sense for this. It's a little shorter. Nationals this weekend, Thursday through Saturday. I believe what I saw was everything is on one of the ESPN family of networks. You've got Friday night and Saturday night semifinals and finals for sure live on one of the on either the Deuce or the Mothership. So you're going to get all that. Iowa with four number one seeds. Okay, same as the Big Ten: Lee, Ironman, Marinelli, and Kemmerer. Right. I think it's worth noting, you know, especially Lee was a three seed in each of the last two.
Well, he was going to be a one seed last year.
Last year, yes. Austin Sandoz is number four, and then you've got Warner, Caleb Young, Cassiope. They're all five. Nelson Brand.
Cassiope is a five?
Yeah, that's the interesting one to me because he's clearly
number three.
Number three, right. Dude from Michigan and Stevenson from Minnesota, right? So, I don't know, but he's a five. He's a five. Warner, to me, is right on that edge. DeSanto's right on the edge of are they better than that. And Max Mirren comes in as a 12 as an at-large because he didn't qualify at the Big Ten.
So, did he start the pigtail?
I think so. Well, I believe so. So I'm not even sure. I thought I saw. So those number one guys.
They're in the quarters.
Right. The number five, so Warner and Young, I think they're wrestling like number 28 or something like that. I mean, are there 28 major college wrestling programs?
As far as I know.
I don't know. By the way, the last Corona is out of your refrigerator. You have to get it restocked. You know how I know?
Because there it is.
Check it out. Yeah. So, shouldn't this be easier, actually, than winning the Big Ten?
The key to winning nationals is bonus points. Obviously, you have to win matches. But if you win bonus points, and if DeSanto's a four, that would mean that he would get the number one guy, who's probably the dude from Penn State who beat him in the finals of the Big Ten.
Right,
he would get him in the semis. And the five guys are in the same four. You have a 4-5 match. And if you win that, then you're in the semis against the number ones, presuming they win. So, is it easier? I don't know. Would you say Young was?
Five. So, Warner, Young, and Cassiope are all five. So, they're in a 4-5 match after they win. They got to win a couple down the way down, right?
Right.
Come along.
Get 4-1s, four.
So they'll get a chance. They'll get some points for beating a four if they can do that, and then getting to wrestle a one.
Well, you don't get points for who you wrestle. You get points for winning.
For winning, that's my point.
And
they're going to get right.
And you get bonus points, obviously, for major decisions, tech falls and falls. And so, should it be easier? I don't know how to. That's a really good question. I don't know. You still got to bring your game, and you still got to win. You know, and a guy like Mirren, I'm sure, has been completely challenged.
Oh, yeah.
Over the last week and a half. Cassiope has never lost anyone but the other two guys. Jacob Warner wrestles too conservatively because he's always in a 3-2 match. But it is who he is, and that's just the way it goes. But the guys on the top line, you're going to get you some points. Obviously, Spencer Lee, theoretically, could pin or tech fall everybody that he wrestles.
He's almost up to a full match now, right, for the year?
Oh, yeah, I think he's over two.
We finally got over that. Now, so, really, seriously, if you get your four, national champions, the points will come through that.
Plus,
right?
You got wrestle back.
Right.
You
got to
keep that in mind. So that's the other place where you can really make some hay. So Nelson Brands is
12.
He's a 12. That's the other 12. All right. But, you know, if you're 12, you win your first one, then you're going against five.
I'll tell you this. I think he's – the way he's wrestled the last couple of weeks, I think he's underseeded. I thought he was really good in the Big Ten. And he got him some extra points that people didn't expect. And I, you know, so as a 12, I think he's probably, now I don't know who the number one at that weight is. So, you know, but
if I know Tom Brands, which we know him a bit, it's fair to say that his hope would be for 10 All-Americans, which means they all finish in the top eight, a runaway victory in four national champs at minimum. And it
that'll make him happy?
And it, no, because the ultimate goal would be to have 10 national champs.
Yeah. Yep.
But, yes, I think he'd be pretty darn pleased with that, considering what happened last year when they were just steamrolling going into the tournament before this all hit the fan.
Yeah, it's been disappointing that they didn't get a few more chances at dual meets this year, you know, but they did. They were very good last week or 2 weeks ago in the Big Tens, and it's really going to be fun this weekend. So, again, another reason for me to get home.
Right, because
on Friday and Saturday night.
Catching television down is a little iffy.
We you know what? We both brought Fire Sticks down here thinking we were going to use our YouTube TV.
Nope.
Guess what? We're out of some sort of copyright area, and it doesn't work. Right. I was watching the Netflix. That actually works. But that's how we failed on that. So, yeah, the guy the other day at the presentation trying to sell me, he's like, what could I do differently? I'm like, you need American television. But we can't watch sports down here. He's like, well, yeah, you got four channels. I'm like, yeah. What match do you want?
Yeah, four different soccer teams that you've never even heard of.
He says, what match do you want? And I'm like, I want Kemmerer versus, you know, he's like, what? I'm like, wrestling.
Yeah, all the Mexican wrestlers wear the mask.
And we were watching Leave It to Beaver in Spanish the other night. Hola, ¿cómo estás?
Buenos dias, señor.
Hawkeye baseball this week, by the way, real quick. They split on the weekend. They go up to Minneapolis, 4-0 against Ohio State on Friday. Lost 2 on Saturday, 4-0 to Nebraska, and lost 7-4. Boy, they gave up 6 runs in the 5th against Ohio State. They probably would have won that. Came back, got 3-1 on Sunday. Duncan Davitt scattered 2 hits. He had a no-hitter through 5, and he had 6 Ks. So that's nice to see their Sunday afternoon starters coming through like that. So they end up 3-5 now overall. And the Huskers are coming to Iowa City this weekend. So Iowa, you know, we'll see how the weather is, but it looks like Iowa's going to play 3 Friday, Saturday, Sunday in Iowa City. And I think they're allowing fans into that, I think.
Is that true?
I don't think so. Well,
not that neither you nor I could go. We are going to make it a weekend trip when the weather is nicer.
Yes. Yeah. It's going to be fun to watch. It's a little disappointing. Once again, you're talking about they're not playing non-conference games. So, you know, they have to win these Big Ten games. You know, Michigan was the big series, so they're going to have to make some hay somewhere. And then whoever, you know, figures out those regionals for the NCAA is going to have to figure out how to include some Big Ten teams in there. But
they have a Big Ten baseball tournament?
They're not going to have it.
Oh.
They do, yes, and they aren't going to have it. So, Kevin Warren, magical.
Boy, he's a smart dude.
He's stellar. Stellar. A couple of other developments. We'll leave the women's basketball for the final segment. A couple of other developments on the men's side. Just kind of aside from things, Fran got a little bit of an extension the other day. I think a couple of extra years added on his contract. Probably well earned this year for sure.
These are not hair extensions. Contract.
Right. They're not hair extensions. I don't think he needs. Actually, Fran's got.
Fran's got a sort of melon there.
And then they get a commitment. So Iowa did get a big man. He's 6'11 to possibly closer to 7 foot. Riley Mulvey. Out of New York, and so Fran apparently coached way back when, had this kid on like some AAU team with Connor way back at Siena when he was at Siena.
Wow,
something like that.
Oh, he was 9.
There are they? I mean, I don't even know if that's. I read that somewhere. And I'm like, wait a minute, how does that work? But in any case, so they've known the family a long time. His other offers, really the bigger ones, were Syracuse and Penn State. So he's a 3-star type kid, but. So you look at some of the photos from a couple of years ago. I was looking, you know, I had looked a couple of weeks ago just to see who was on the line for their – because they need a big guy, right? This kid was a beanpole, right? He was Eric Hansen thin. And then I saw some highlights the other day. He's filling out a little bit.
All right, that's good.
So I don't – if you see some pictures online, don't get too upset just yet that he's –
How about you and I calling for the dude from England to come in the other day? And
he came in. Apparently he came in and played, yeah. At least gave them a minute or two. Hey, look, they're going to need to. Granted, now's not the time for everybody to play, right?
Right.
But they are going to have to figure out.
But it's not like he showed Chris Murphy or Murray out there.
No. he's going to end up having to play, and they're going to need big guys. Really interesting to see now with the transfer market, and of course, I think a lot of Iowa fans. This is one way out there, but obviously the Robbins kid out of Minnesota, who was down at Drake, dad
fired.
Yes. Hey, Minnesota, Patino's gone. That's
going
to transfer wherever he
isn't
wants.
He a senior?
Nope. He's got time left. They're also following some kid out of Massachusetts who averaged like 18 points a game. He was a center. They got a couple of ideas on some guys, some bigger guys that they're looking at. We'll see what happens. I'd be highly surprised if Fran doesn't have a transfer come in this year to kind of shore things up, particularly if Joel Wieskamp decides to go pro. That's another interesting question. You could debate for a long time. I think he's going to go.
I think he's going to go too, but I hope he doesn't. I mean, and I hope he does it not from a Hawkeye fan standpoint. I hope he does it because if he goes pro, I mean, I see Weezy right now, making a bunch of money in Europe, Israel.
Ryan Kreener this week was the Euro Millions MVP of the week for the Le'Veon Bears in Belgium.
There you go.
Ryan Kreener is making money in Europe, right? Clearly, Joe Wieskamp will make money playing basketball somewhere. The question is, do you want to be in the NBA? Do you want it, or do you want to be a Tyler Cook, who went early, right? And he's up and down. I think he got his third teams. I think he's with Detroit now for 10 days, right? So he's getting 10-day contracts, but he's not playing. He's playing here and there. When he plays in the lower levels, and he drops down into the feeder league, he plays a bunch. He does really well. But is that where Joe Wieskamp wants to be a year from now, is playing to try to get his way onto an NBA team, or does he really believe that he's going to be on an NBA team? And it's an interesting question because, remember, he's also engaged to
the other basketball player.
Yeah, the gal was Big Ten Player of the Year last year, Kathleen Doyle, right? So, I mean, he's clearly he's got one foot out the door in a lot of different ways, right? But we'll see what happens. And that will change, obviously, the complexion of what Fran needs to do next year with this team. Right now, you got Jack Nungy assumingly coming back off of another knee injury. So you'll have a big man. Agundale is there. Now you're going to bring in this Mulvey kid. So
you're going to have CJ, Connor, Patrick.
I'm just thinking, Keegan. I'm thinking of big guys.
Right? Okay.
I'm thinking of big. But
hopefully, Joe Toussaint, Euless.
But do you want Keegan Murray to have to play big? You want Keegan Murray. You want Keegan Murray to be able to play a 3/4 rather than having to.
Oh, I don't want him to be a 5.
Well, he's not going to be a 5. You'd never want him to have to guard Kofi Coburn, right?
Wait, isn't that Nunchy's job in theory?
While he's on the floor,
much like it was Lucas.
Yeah. While he's on the floor, let's real quick. I'm assuming we're getting close to a commercial, but let's do the Connor McCaffrey inspirational moment. You realize he got more minutes in both these games the other day than Keegan Murray did?
Only because you just told me this.
By the way, he saved 2 free throws at the end of the game, which, I mean, come on. That's big because he's a 50% free throw shooter at best. But clearly, and you're watching this Illinois game, Keegan's the real deal out there in terms of his offensive and defensive ability comparatively on the court with the Illinois guys. The only thing
is the lineup to take Connor out, put Keegan in, and he's playing the 4. And you got Jordan, CJ, and Wheezy. See, I didn't think Wheezy played great against Illinois. They took him completely out of the game. It was
a good first half.
And they have 5?
No, he had more. Look it up. He had more than that. All right, we'll come back. We'll get things wrapped up this weekend. We come back from the Hawkeye Huddle, live from Cancun, in just a minute.
You're listening to the Hawkeye Huddle with Dave Creighton Jr. and Brett Ridge on 1700 The Champ. Real sports talk for real sports fans.
You're listening to us while we're over the commercial, apparently. There are very dominant moments there. I realized that somehow we were going out. Hey, he was pretty clean, like in the break, right? It was not bad. It was good. It was good. We're down here in Cancun, Mexico at the beautiful Moon Palace. Hawks played down here when you got married down here a few years ago. That was not why you were here. You were here to get married, not to watch the Hawks. They were here.
Did get to watch them twice, though. It was quite fun.
Yeah.
Bobby Hansen was nearly one of the signers on the wedding certificate. We didn't have enough adults.
Well, when then just a couple of years. So that was also the night of my first date with my wife, who today is our anniversary.
There right? you have it.
So congratulations to,
you.
Lovely and talented Tammy Alvarado / Rich.
Speaking
so
of,
we got married here again. We came back two years later, probably. Mm-hmm. So we're on our seventh anniversary, and that's one of the reasons we're down here with you right now. Yeah, and I was in 2014.
There you go. There you 2 years later.
So, and we were right here on the 16th of March, so that's pretty cool and pretty fun, which is one of the reasons we're here having a good time. Before we get, I didn't even mention the fact, Luca Garza.
Well, how about we thank our sponsors, please?
Yeah.
AMPM Plumbing, the great initial partnership with them, so happy. Foundry Distilling.
Nobody. We'll be back there next week, Thursday, right?
Lord willing.
Yeah.
And, of course, G. Miggs and your man, Doug Stonehocker.
From RE/MAX Concepts, Doug Stonehocker, our sponsor all year long of the Home Team of the Week. And, of course, you can check out all of his listings and get in touch with him at dsmrealestate.com. That's dsmrealestate.com. We really don't have a home team for this week. You know, everybody's in Indianapolis or San Antonio.
I'm
going to
take Purdue.
Hey, there you go. Let's do it. That's perfect. They're the only team that's going to be close, right?
Well, I mean, Michigan's close. Indiana.
Okay, but Indiana's not in this tournament. So I think that's a good call. By the way, the Hawks are playing in the
West,
the Indiana Farmers Coliseum, which is on the Indiana State Fairgrounds, built in 1939. Apparently,
I've driven by the Indiana State Fairgrounds more than once. It was also the scene of a horrible concert issue during the state fair.
Yes.
All right.
Apparently, they did $53 million worth of renovations a couple of years ago.
Well, needed to.
It's like 17 times what it cost to build this thing. 1939, you know who? What? Niall Kinnick here, right?
Yeah, FD.
That's when they were.
Not the FD, but the.
The Beatles, JFK, JFK, Trump, they both had rallies. The Beatles, Elvis played there. This is an old place. IUPUI plays there. Now, it has been renovated, so that's where the Hawks
play. So that's where IUPUI plays.
Yeah. Coliseum, and that's where the Hawks
are.
I don't know whether that's – I have no idea about how the second round is going to work. And by the way, I don't
know. The second round games would be the same size as the first round. Then they might move them all to the bigger arena.
I couldn't find where there's any time, like, listed for what might happen on Monday, which kind of – I mean, we've been on vacation for 10 days.
So you said 4:25, that's usually later in the afternoon.
I saw 5:25 Eastern, right? So 4:25 Iowa time. So yeah,
that would usually mean later in the day on Monday.
Yeah, it would. It would make sense that Iowa going against Oregon or VCU, but certainly Iowa being a 2 seed, you'd want the 1.
Don't
two
sleep on Virginia right. Commonwealth.
Well, we're gonna get to that. Let's get to the women real quick. The women's back. Geez, we didn't even get to Luca. Luca's by the way, first time ever Iowa with a back to back. All-American, AP first team All-American. So on the women's side the other day, or the other week, Iowa, they finish up 18-9. Great run through the Big Ten tournament. I don't want to mishandle talking about this because they beat Purdue. They struggled a little bit in that game. They went 3-for-22 from three. They beat Purdue 83-72. They come back. They get Rutgers, a ranked Rutgers team, 73-62. Michigan State the next day, 87-72, and it just, you know, Maryland is just really good, and they fell short, 104-84, but four games in the tournament the other day. So Monica Sonato set the Big Ten record with 107 points in the Big Ten women's basketball.
That's incredible.
48 made field goals. So she's not shooting threes, kids. She's just a machine, right? So that was terrific. And then Caitlin Clark, as a freshman, 37 assists in four games. This just in, she does more than score. That's also a Big Ten tournament record for the women. They get Central Michigan on Sunday, who's also 18-8, but clearly, at Central Michigan at this point. I don't want to leave out Gabby Marshall had 27 points in that win over Rutgers. 6 threes in the first half, that was big. So if you're paying attention, a lot of people actually are. I tweeted some comments yesterday when the pairings came out, and you would be surprised how many people were liking the tweets.
Right.
Because paying attention to this team is kind of fun because they really play up and down basketball, and they score a lot of points, and it's just fun to watch. Second round for them, probably Kentucky. Kentucky plays Idaho, and then they would run into UConn at 24-1, and we'll see how that goes. But let's enjoy the first round for them, right?
Right. Well, hopefully the first two.
Yeah, yeah. And they moved up to a 5 seed, so they've been running right along at the 8 or the 7 this last weekend, and the way they played. So I think weren't they were at like 13-8? I think they ended up 18-9 here, or 13-7. I mean, the last couple of weeks has really elevated their status. They were never rated during the year in the top 25, and here they are in the top 20 in terms of NCAA seeding.
Obviously, Lisa Bluter's most underappreciated asset in the Iowa Athletic Department. Her and Jan.
Yep, absolutely. So, good luck to them. That's going to be a lot of fun this weekend for them as well, so you can check them out on Sunday. So they'll go Sunday, Tuesday would be my guess for them. So men on Friday. So, wrestlers, Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
Let's do an extended foundry distilling company last call. We got about 4 minutes, maybe five.
Okay, well, okay. First of all, Luca Garza, back-to-back AP All.
Was that an affirmative?
That's an affirmative. Grand Canyon. And the Nets are 107. Hawks are what, 14.5? Is that what you told me?
Yes.
They're from the WAC. Bryce Drew hit that big shot back in the.
They beat Ole Miss. Valparaiso beat Ole Miss.
They shoot 49%. They have the 13th best field goal percentage in the country, but they're only like 193rd in threes. They don't shoot it from deep. They rely on this Ashbourne Midgard guy. He's 7 feet tall, basically to bang guys around in there. I don't see how that works for them in this game. So, you know, if I run into that, then I run forward to Oregon. Don't sleep on VCU. I agree with you on that. But if I run forward into that, I'm liking the Grand Canyon game without even thinking about it, right? This is not a situation where I could see them throwing it into the ocean for 3-point a lot. Oregon scares me in the fact that I think there's, you know, it's a Pac-12 team that's super powerful. I still think the Hawks get by either one of them. This is a Sweet 16 weekend for Iowa.
Oh, I agree with you on that. I do. Frankly, I completely do. I mean, if we get VCU, you want to talk about a grinder game. Be ready for that one. If we get Oregon, it's going to be up and down the court. Dana likes to run. He's going to run, you know, three-quarter court trap. Where they just don't have the guy that they had last year.
So what's interesting about this is for, you know, Iowa, of course, with a late season run, basically only losing the game to Illinois and then into Michigan, but, you know, winning, what, 9 out of 11. Both Oregon and VCU won 8 out of their last 10. Each of them did. And you're right. So VCU doesn't. They don't shoot from deep either. They're 32% three-point.
They're a grinder team.
But they're a grinder, right? This is not the same. But they have,
Wisconsin.
But they had a higher strength of schedule than people would give them credit for. They were second in the A-10. They were 27 in their strength of schedule. So they played some teams, and you're right. They've grounded.
What was Iowa's strength of schedule?
I don't have that written down here, but it was up there.
Right? It had to be.
It was like 4 or 5.
It had to be. Well, we played Gonzaga, and we played the Big Ten.
Yeah. By the way, on the other side of the bracket, if you happen to run into the Sweet 16, you're looking at possibly running into Kansas or Virginia, which would be a lot of fun, actually. Kansas, you know, at one point fell out of the top 25.
There's another team on that side of the bracket, and I cannot remember who it is right off the top of my head. Who's Virginia play?
I don't have that one.
There's the problem with being on a vacation when you do that. Yeah. Right, we'll worry about that next week if the Hawks get through these first two games.
Yeah. We're looking at. I think all four of those guys get there. All four of those guys get theirs, and I think somebody else comes from nowhere and gets one.
No, I think they get four, but it's not all four one seed.
You don't think so?
I don't know who it is.
It's not who it is.
Maybe. That'd be good. All right. Well, next week we'll be back in our familiar spot Thursday at Foundry Distilling Company. Until then, thanks for joining us here on the Hawkeye Huddle on 1700 The Champ.